Blog Talk Radio.
Never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
it down. Raining now, here on the battleground.
For your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking territory,
fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before.
Taking territories, we are waging war. Good morning. It is September 23rd, 2023. This is Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We are taking charge of our lives and living it to the fullness. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm the president and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We honor our co-hosts who have been doing an outstanding job hosting this show. Praise God. She's been giving outstanding lessons. We thank God for her. We have a spirit-filled lesson today. Let's get into it. Hallelujah. Praise God. We want to lift up, and before I get started, I want to have the saints of the Most High God to pray for Joe Brown, who is currently undergoing heart surgery as we are speaking. He's being prepped. This is a 6 to 8 hour show. This is a friend of our family. His wife and Mr. Brown, they're friends of our family, and certainly they're friends of the family in Christ. So I pray that you will lift him up in your prayers as he goes into heart surgery. His heart has arrived, and they are literally going to take him into a heart transplant. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. With that being said, We are going to get into our lesson. We are going to save the announcements to the end of our show. We have a word on today that will illuminate your heart and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ to end your sufferings. Not to stop you from going through, but it's going to help you go through. We will take you on a journey in the word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we set the place, set the pace for victory. We are fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons to achieve this goal. The theme for this month in September is All Eyes on Jesus. And this is the fourth Saturday. And certainly the topic for this fourth Saturday is unmasking the enemy. I want to say that one more time, y'all. Unmasking the enemy. Let's get to our text, shall we? We are coming from 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13. And then we're going to jump down to the 13th and the 14th verses. But I fear, and this is the New Living Translation, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Jumping down to verses 13 and 14. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Then we go into Revelations chapter 12, verse 19, and then Revelations 12, 14 through 15. So, Revelation chapter 9, it reads, this great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Jumping to the 12th verse, 12th chapter, verses 14 through 15. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time and times and a half of a time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. And certainly the dragon there is talking about the serpent. So let's do a little background information, if you allow me to. There's a show that I thought about when I got the title to this called The Masked Singer. And The Masked Singer is a singing compilation of guests. And it's a game based on a Korean format. And it features celebrities who will be masked, who mask themselves up. And some say they mask themselves up with alter ego. So it's about 12 celebrities that appear on this show. So it is a group of celebrities, and it has a panel, and certainly I've seen it. If you haven't, it's a whole bunch of people who you got about four panels. Nick Cannon is the host, and you've got four people that's guessing who this individual is, and certainly at some point it starts off with 12, and the last one standing after the season is over, who has not yet been unmasked, is the winner. So 12 celebrities, the panel tried to guess who this individual is that comes out and they sing a song. And there's been a variety of people that they have unmasked. Patti LaBelle comes to mind, Faith Evans, and then there are just a parade of stars. And certainly at the end of the episode, the losing celebrity is finally revealed. So at the end of the episode, if you are not picked, if you, and it's a sing-off, so the best singer wins. And if you lose, then you have to pull that mask off. So what does it mean to be unmasked? On the show, they lose the battle, and they literally have to be unmasked. And certainly at the end of the season, the last man or woman standing will get unmasked, but she's the last or he's the last one standing, and he ultimately is the winner. But still, he has to reveal his self. So what does it mean to be unmasked? It means to be revealed, reveal the true character of someone or something. It can also mean to remove a mask or disguise from someone or oneself. So in essence, when you're looking at unmask, you're looking at revealing who that individual is underneath that mask. And certainly when we look at the masked singer, that is the guess. The guess is to try to figure out or try to get who is underneath that mask. So when that person reveals himself at the end of the show or at the end of the season, you finally get to know, or he finally reveals himself, he is literally unmasked. So when we define what it means to be unmasked, it means to reveal the true nature of the individual or expose that individual for who they are. Mm-hmm. To remove a mask. And if we were to be truthful with each other, we are all wearing some kind of mask that we don't want to take off. But that's a different show. Praise God. Hallelujah. So in essence, who is the enemy? We have been talking about spirits. We have been talking about demons. We've talked quite a bit on this show about that topic. But we need to understand who Satan is. Mm-hmm. We need to understand our enemy. Now, if we're in a battle, we're in an army, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me get to stick to what I'm supposed to be saying. I'm quick to get off, y'all. So who is Satan? Satan is, to understand who Satan really is, we must look in the words of the Old Testament prophets. Many scholars believe that Isaiah chapter 14 is the reference detailing the events surrounding Satan's original fall and expulsion from heaven. He was kicked out, y'all. Isaiah 14 and 12. And this is the New King James Version, the fall of Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. The word Lucifer is only found here in the entire Bible and is controversial among the Hebrew scholars. The Hebrew word halel, and it actually refers to brightness. That is the word. Lucifer has been understood to be a personal name, but in reality it's the word meaning bright sun of the morning or a bright morning star. This person of brightness is called a son of the morning and was among the first heavenly lights. Satan don't like your praise, and there's a reason for it. There is also other prophetic insights found in Ezekiel chapter 28, chapter 26, and 27. The prophet gives a word to the king of Tyre. As an earthly leader, Ezekiel continues his disclosure in the chapters 28, but then begins describing a creature that cannot be human. Ezekiel speaks to the anointed cherubim. Ezekiel 28 and 14. This also is the New King James Version. You were among the cherubims who covered. I established you. You were on the mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fury stones. The closest that the Bible comes to describing Satan and the devils like in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. So the closest that we see a description of Satan is found in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The surrounding verses refer to Satan's human servant disguising themselves as apostles of Christ and servants of righteousness. In context, these descriptions are referring to the false prophets, but the principle surely applies to demons as well. One big problem is trying to describe Satan and his devils because he is a spirit are by definition non-physical, and it is impossible to assign a physical feature to a non-physical entity. As spirit beings, demons do not have noses, eyes, hands, feet, tails, or anything else that would make them or what they might look like to draft a description. That's one reason the Bible really never describes Satan's appearance. Even the angel of light in the description in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14 is a sketchy appearance. Whether it is describing his or means or emphasizing the deceitfulness of the nature of Satan. The devil wants you to believe he is truth when in reality he is falsehood. Now that we have established that Satan is an angel, a spiritual being, having no physical likeness that can be grasped by our senses, we can do some surmising. Should Satan decide to make a physical appearance, if he manifests himself physically, he would do it in a deceitful manner, as he did in Genesis. And we're going to get to that. Based on 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, we can know one thing for sure or certain. Satan deceives people into thinking he is an angel of light. For Satan to reveal himself as an evil, murderous being that he is would be counterproductive. Most people would not allow or follow that hateful, deceitful, manic, controversial portrayal of Satan. Just as sin often looks attractive at first, only later revealing that it leads to death. So Satan would seek to deceive us by appearing as something other than evil. Let's address Satan's weapons now. It's about spiritual warfare. It's a conflict between good and evil. And you might say, Dr. Carey, you keep going over that. And because I need you to understand what you see is not really what you're seeing. Spiritual warfare is a conflict between good and evil. It is the ongoing battle between two opposing kingdoms, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. God's kingdom being evil, Satan's kingdom being, I'm sorry, my bad, Satan, you're alive. God's kingdom being good and Satan's kingdom being evil. So it's a spiritual conflict. It manifests, and it's a spiritual conflict that manifests itself in the natural realm or the flesh realm, flesh and blood. Humans are caught in the midst of this conflict, and we may struggle in it on either side. So the battlefield is the area where it's fought. The battle is the encounter between opposing forces. War, a state open and a war is defined as a state of open and armed conflict between nations and states and parties and equipped, furnished with whatever we need to fight with, and for us is the whole armor of God. And thank God for his goodness. I want to say shout out to First Jurisdiction. I forgot about this in their women's workshop on today. Much success. Genesis 3, 4 and 7, verses 4 and 7. And go back and read it because I don't have the scriptures here. I'm just going to talk about it. In verse 4, Satan shyly convinces Eve that God has lied to them by withholding from them the ability to become like God, knowing good and evil. And I want to make this statement, saints, that God won't withhold any good thing from us. That's what the word says. God was being unfair, he argues, keeping them from their potential. The passage suggests that after hearing this, Eve did not hesitate one bit in making her decision. She took the bait without even flinching and ignorantly promoted the interests of Satan by giving the forbidden fruit to her husband. In effect, she signed on to advance Satan's objective to derail God's plan and create mankind in his spiritual image. So Satan's tactics has been the same ever since, even though he realizes that due to Christ's resurrection and death, or death and resurrection, he knows that he ultimately will lose. When we find that in Revelations 20 and 10, which reads, then the devil who has deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There will be tormented days and nights forever and ever. Now, when we talk about burning sulfur, and this is the New Living Translation, which means fire. Praise the Lord. So, while he still has time, he will try to make as many people as he can fail to reach their human potential, because he will try to stop God's plans for our lives. He will do whatever's in his power, whatever he can, to stop. And of course, we must understand God is still in control, but Satan was cast down here in the earth. So when you see what's going on around us, Satan performing, Satan is in the land, the spirit. Nothing that we see is what we see. Ooh. Say that again. Nothing that we see is what we see. We have to begin to look at it spiritually. So when we see on the news, when we look at the murders, when we look at everything that's going on around us, then it's Satan manifesting himself. So we have to pull the mask off of Satan and identify it for what it is. God is still in control, but Satan is trying to take whomever and whatever he can with him. And when we talk about spirits, when we talk about the demonic activity that's going on around us, because we have to begin to see that when Satan was kicked out of heaven, Satan was not just one of those little minute angels. Mm-mm. He had power to walk, or his spirit had power to walk across the heavens. So he was one of the angels, the high-ranking angels you hear about. You hear only so many angels that are named in heaven. You know about Michael, you know about Gabriel, but then there was Satan, whose name, or who was given the name Lucifer, because he was an individual just assigned to the throne for worship. So when you begin to understand who Satan is now, who he was before, and now that he's been kicked out, he feel he wanted to be God. And because he wanted to be like God, he thought himself to be God, he was kicked out of heaven. Saints of the Most High, saints, those that will listen to this blog, you must understand that he was kicked down here on earth. And Satan did not take just, he was not kicked out by himself. He was kicked out with one third of the angels. Mm-hmm. So now he's here. So now you've got the spirit of deceit. You've got the spirit of murder. You've got the kinds of lust. You got everything that you could think about roaming around in the earth realm. For those who have been called by God in this lifetime, we have far more at stake here. If Satan can succeed in deceiving us to advocate for him more and more, he is greatly increases our chances of being subject to the second death, the eternal death in the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14-15. Then death, the grave, were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake. Mm-hmm. We begin to see we must unmask the enemy for who he is. 2 Corinthians talks about those false prophets that come in the name other than Jesus Christ. And the Bible is clear that you can't get into heaven, you can't get into the kingdom of God by any other means but by Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, suffered, and rose again on the third day. He is not a prophet. He is God. He is God. He is God. There is one God eternally existent in three persons. That's what the word says. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We look at the Gospels, and the Gospels tell us. And certainly we fall over to St. John, or John, the Gospel of John, and the first word, or the first chapter, talks about God was in the beginning, and he was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I'm Y'all go read the scriptures because I'm interpreting it in my own version. But the idea is that in Genesis, God, Jesus was there. Hallelujah. So Satan knows who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So that's why God has given us spiritual weapons to pull down the kingdom of Satan. We go over to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5, and I speak of this often, about fortresses and strongholds. A stronghold can exist within a person of sin, but it also can be repeatedly sinning in a given area. A person builds a stronghold, which then is turned away and allowed demons to enter. But then Satan tries to also erect strongholds. He tries to keep the believer from achieving the goals that God has for you. So we need to begin to unmask the enemy and understand what's in our surrounding areas where Satan has a foothold in our lives. It may be a person, it may be a situation, it may be on our job, it may be a place. Well, we need to pray and fast and pull those holes down and seek the face of God to fortify ourselves in spiritual weaponry, to understand, to maximize our time and maximize what God has given to us, to pull down everything that's not like God in this last and evil days. This is a trying time for the believer. This is a trying time for the believer. We are going through nonstop. We are struggling nonstop. We are going through. People are getting murdered just down the street, on the block, around the corner. They're stealing cars in every area because spirits are ruling and reigning. Those ancient spirits of old, Satan has fortified himself. He's fortified himself with a group, with demonic spirits that are here to take down, to try the believer. And certainly those that don't have Christ, he's got free reign. You know, you look at the spirit of murder, and you look at the spirit of deception. Mm-hmm. So, devils reinforce strong holds in people by tempting the person to sin, inviting other evil spirits into a person, torment the person, and they resist expulsion or being cast out. So Acts 16, verses 16 through 18, when you look at to harass and to mock God's servants, how does the enemy attack us? The devil uses many tactics to accomplish his mission. By studying the examples of tactics from scriptures, we can best recognize them when we face spiritual warfare. And I'm going to get this one, and I'm going to wrap it up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Time is running near. Oh, we have so much fun when we get together. He tempts through lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I want you guys to get this. He tempts through lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Look at what's going on around us, the spirit of murder, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There was a young lady that was killed on a block that was close to my family members, and certainly they all knew her. And come to find out, she was killed by a long-term boyfriend. Now, when you look at a situation like that, there's nothing new under the sun. I think back 20, 25 years ago, I had another cousin. This was a cousin in down south that was murdered by her husband. And this is examples of the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Why? How, Dr. Carey? Well, once you look at the fact that these individuals, these men, have decided that if I can't have you, nobody will, which is pride of life. That means they have making themselves to be God, and therefore, because they have made themselves to be God, first of all, there was a lust that set out in their eyes, and there was a lust in their flesh, and then their pride says, you're going to walk away from me, and I'm not going to let you. That's sin. Sin in its formation, sin full level. So when you see this, when you see the murderer spirit, and not just, that's just one example, but when you see the person that's carjacking, therefore you look at the fact that material things is more valued than that person's life. And I think about the fact that we are made in the image of God. God created each and every one of us on this earth. Hallelujah. He, at one point, we were all on equal level. But those that have chose to come on the Lord's side, the revelations talk about our names being in the book. It talks about the fact that we need to be vigilant and we need to be sober. We need to seek God like never before, because the enemy comes to deceive. He comes to take. He comes to take from us what God has granted to us. And one of the things he does is this lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So Genesis, we can find this in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6, and I'm not going to read them. No, Satan appealed to Eve's desire for good-looking knowledge, the pride of life, knowing that the fruit appeared to her lust of the eye and flesh. Proverbs 6, 23, verses 23 verses to 28. Flattering speech to seduce into sexual sins, which is appears to be the pride of life. Use physical appearance to captivate, which is versus the lust of the flesh. So when we begin to see what's operating in the land right now, you can see the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those of us that are single, those married men that get entangled into affairs and they're married, which is sin. So we can see Satan in operation. Let's be clear with what's going on in our society. It's Satan, and the pride is the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. We can see it, full-fledged sin. Acts 5 and 3, 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. Through love of money, drowning the person by lust and destruction and sin. So we see it. 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 And we must be clear what Satan is doing so that we can be victorious and put on the whole armor. And I'm going to say this and we're going to go into prayer. We've got to put on the whole armor of God, and we've got to ask God to allow us to see the enemy afar off, because Satan is deceptive. He's deceptive, and he's not, he's a spirit. So he can disguise himself in any person, any physical form, that spirit. You know, Peter, enemy, to operate in him, and Satan and God had to set him straight. Jesus had to set him straight. He had to rebuke that spirit in him. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We must begin to use the Holy Spirit. That's why when Jesus came and he sent the apostles up to the upper room, And they were there until the Holy Spirit, they were endowed with the Holy Spirit. They were endowed with power. They were endowed with power so that they begin to understand and be able to be equipped to survive and to win over the demonic spirits that Satan attacks us with. Jesus gave us the power and the keys to be successful. And we must operate in and with those keys. So when Satan comes to us, first of all, we must be prayerful. We must have our armor on. We must be prayerful. And we must allow God to allow us to give us insight to see Satan when he comes to us masked. We must be able to unmask our enemy. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for those that are on the line today. I thank you for those that have taken their time out to be with us on this morning. I lift up Joe right now that's going into surgery, or if he's already in surgery. I pray for the surgeon. I pray for him. I pray, God, I pray for every surgical team that's operating on him, the anesthesiologist. I pray for him that they may be perfect in what the dosage, that the surgeons may be perfect in the implantation of the heart, that the prepping of the heart and the implanting of the new heart will be successful. The taking out of his old heart will be successful, God, and that they may not get weary in well-doing, but Holy Spirit being the room with them. Holy Spirit, guide them, God. Holy Spirit, guide each and every surgeon's hand, each and every nurse's hand that operates and assists these doctors in the name of Jesus. We pray right now that you move mightily, God. We pray, God, that you deliver, God, like never before, God. And Father God, we pray for his wife that's sitting there waiting on him. God, strengthen her mind, strengthen her heart. Know that God is doing exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I pray her strength right now in the name of Jesus. I declare it right now in the name of Jesus. It is so. And Father God, I pray even for our co-host now, God, I pray her strength. I pray, God, that whatever she's endeavoring to do on today is successful. I pray, God, for the First Jurisdiction of Illinois as they go through their women's workshop. I pray that that's successful, that the women will be empowered like never before. The lunch is just superb, Father God. Move on them, God. You know what they have need of. Pray, God, I pray right now that you continue to bless, that you continue to keep, that you continue to bless ministries all over this United States and beyond. God, do it for your glory that we may stand, God, that you may get the victory. And if there's someone out there that don't know you and the pardon of their sins, God, let them accept you as their Savior in the name of Jesus. Draw people to this show, God. Draw them, God, like never before. And that's because, God, that they may get the word of God, that they may be changed, God. You know what they have need of, God, and we yield to your purpose, your will, and your way. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Announcements. Praise God. If you want, thank you for those that have given us a donation. If you are able to give a donation through Amazing Grace Ministries, we certainly appreciate it. We've got some expenses coming up in October to run this platform, to run the platform, the Zoom platform, in which we will be having classes soon. Registration is coming. Also, if you listen to this broadcast, I decree and the blessings that you continue in the last months of this year. And certainly, if you find this message a blessing, I need you to give me a text. And my text, my phone number is 309-750-7584. If you want to listen to this broadcast, if you want to have the link, also text me, because I'm not going to say it on the air this morning. But if you want to listen to it, I can certainly text you the link. All this computer language sometimes I struggle with. But If you want the link, text me and I send it out to you. Again, thank you guys for being with us on this morning. Y'all continue to be blessed. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.